It was hot before I got up here. Now it really got hot. You may say that. You know, God's good.
Yes.
He placed within my heart a desire to serve Him.
Yes, He did.
That nothing can take that away.
No.
I got a made up mind. Nothing can take that away. God has been good to me. I've come through some situations in my life, but yet God's been there with me through each one.
Yes, He has. Yes.
God doesn't owe me nothing, but I owe Him my life for all that He's done and is doing. Tonight, I'm going to teach on the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. If you notice this picture here, where's the shepherd?
He's in front.
He's in front. He's not driving the sheep. He's leading the sheep.
Yes, He is.
Of course, He's got some dogs there to help move them along if they stray, but the shepherd is leading his sheep. Turn to John 10, verse 14, please. John chapter 10, verse 14. It says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine.
Yes.
And am known of mine. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. The Lord knows us. We're His sheep. We're compared to sheep. And sheep need a shepherd because, number two slide, please. Sheep need a shepherd because they are prone to wander. They are defenseless. They're not very intelligent. They need someone to lead them to food and water. They need someone to provide them with protection and shelter. So sheep, it's kind of humbling to think the Lord says that we're His sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Because we think we can do anything. We're not disturbed. We think we can do anything and capable of doing anything. But sometimes we're not very smart in our decisions we make.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're not very smart in the direction we walk, in the paths that we walk. Sometimes we just don't know what to do. So we need a shepherd also. The Lord compared us to sheep many times throughout Scripture. I think it said we're compared to sheep over 200 times in Scripture. That's a lot of times comparing us to sheep. But you know, the same with us today as sheep doesn't. They have to be guided and led. And they're defenseless. They don't have claws. They don't have horns. They don't have sharp teeth. And when a predator comes after a sheep, a lot of times they freeze. They just stop. They don't know which way to go, which direction to do, or anything. They just freeze where they're at. They are defenseless. And we as children of God, as God's sheep, we're defenseless out in that world without His blood applied to our lives. That blood is what keeps us. That blood is what protects us. When Satan comes after us as a roaring lion, he can't get through that blood. He can't get through that blood and destroy us because God is our shepherd. He's protected us. We tend to put our heads down and graze like sheep sometimes. We just come in and bowl ahead and not really pay attention to the things that are around us and where we're going and what's happening. A sheep will do that. They'll start eating and grazing, and they will not raise their head. They'll just keep walking along this green grass. And then they look up and wonder where the flock is. The flock isn't there. The shepherd's not there. In this world, as we bowl ahead in our lives sometimes and walk the paths that we shouldn't walk, we get to a place and we look up, we wonder, how in the world did we get here? We took our eyes off our shepherd. We took our eyes off the shepherd. We wasn't listening. We wasn't paying any attention to the things that are around us. We had one thing in our mind, and that was eating. And a lot of things today people have on their mind is fun, entertainment. Give me a good time. That's all I want. But then when they have that good time on down the road, they get to a place they realize, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be doing the things that I am. They have no protection. They're away from the flock. Turn to John 10, verse 27 and 28, please. John 10, verse 27, 28. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall not perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Sheep knows the shepherd's voice. As our title slide showed, the shepherd was in front of the sheep. They know his voice. They follow him. When he calls them to head out, the sheep follow. And in most instances, the sheep will not follow another shepherd. When all the sheep are in, multiple flocks of sheep are in a sheepfold at one time, and a shepherd comes to retrieve his sheep out of there, and he calls them, only his sheep will come. The other sheep will stay in the sheepfold till their shepherd comes. They won't follow another shepherd. Now, sometimes when a sheep is sick, they will follow another shepherd. Same in our lives today. When we are sick, when we don't allow God's Spirit to direct us and guide us, we'll follow the shepherd of this world, which will lead us to destruction, which will take us down paths that we should not be walking. But as long as we stay close to our shepherd and listen to his voice, stay healthy. And the way you're going to stay healthy is through prayer, fasting, and reading God's word and listening to his voice. When you stay close to God, he'll lead you. He doesn't have to drive you because you have a relationship with him. The sheep love the shepherd. Why? He's always there. He protects them. He guides them. He feeds them. He watches out for them. Sheep know the shepherd's voice. And if they're scared or afraid, the shepherd can speak and it'll calm them because they realize he's there. He's watching out for me. So we need to be careful when the shepherd of this world tries to lure us away. Don't get sick in spirit and follow the wrong shepherd. Because the shepherd will lead you to places you would never thought you would go to. He would lead you to things that you never thought you would be involved in. He will lead you into destruction. But the shepherd that I follow will lead me to eternal life. Will lead me to a life of rest and peace with him. Let's look at Psalms 22, 23, and 24 a minute, please. These are called messianic psalms. Psalms 22, we see the cross. We see Christ as the Savior. He is the foundation. We see him die here. He gives his life for his sheep, for his people, for us. Psalms 23, we see the shepherd guides us. He is the satisfier. He is the manifestation. He is living. He gives his love to the sheep. Psalms 24, we see our king and the crown that he wears. We see that he's sovereign. He is expectation. He is coming. He gives us light when he appears. These three psalms present a wonderful picture of Christ, of what he's done for us, is doing for us, and will do for us. Psalms 22 deals with the past. Christ is already crucified. Psalms 23 deals with the present, where we are right now. Psalms 24 deals with the future when Christ comes back. Tonight, I'm going to deal with the shepherd part of it. Psalms 23, I'm going to deal with the present. Because he is my shepherd now. He is leading me now. He is providing what I need now. He has everything that I have need of, and he's providing it as long as I walk with him. For a shepherd to know his sheep and his sheep to love him and to follow him, he has to live among them. He has to be with them where they can know him and trust him and follow him. He has to be part of them. And as he's with them, he learns his sheep. He learns what each sheep will do, which one's prone to not listen and follow another way. He learns to love his sheep. And the sheep learn to love him because he's there watching over them daily and protecting him. You know, our shepherd Jesus came from heaven down to this earth. And he became a sheep also. He became a man and lived among us. And he had our nature, but he didn't sin. He was our shepherd. He came to live among us, to learn his people, to see his people, to see their needs and what they had need of, to teach them who he was and what was to come. This is why in Scripture he's called the Good Shepherd, because he knows what we had need of. He was one of us. He knows our desires. He knows our wants. He knows our hurts. He knows everything that we have need of, because he come down to be one of us. He was man, but he was God. And why? That is why he is can be called the Good Shepherd, because he earned that position. He come down, learned, and loved his sheep, and provided what they have needed at that time. Let's turn to the next overhead, please. The shepherd is. The shepherd is, number one, he's a watchman. A shepherd is very attentive, and he's always watching. He can never take his eyes off the territory around him, because if he does, he can lose a sheep. He's a guide. He knows where the good grass is. He knows where the water is. And he's guiding his flock to that. He's a physician. If one of the sheep gets sick, he knows what to do to heal it. He's a savior. If a predator does get him, he'll fight that predator to get his sheep back. He's a provider, and he's a protector. Shepherd has many duties, but a shepherd loves his sheep. A shepherd will watch over their sheep. He's a watchman. He's constantly watching. There's predators all around. And our shepherd gave his life for us.
Yes, he did.
He gave us his life. He died for us to protect us from three destroying wolves: sin, death, and judgment. He died to protect us from these wolves. He gave his life. He gave his blood to protect us from sin, death, and judgment. Because without that, we would be lost. We would be destroyed. He saw them coming. He went out to meet them, and he gave his life. But even though he gave his life, he brought his life up again so the sheep, his people, wouldn't be scattered. Because a shepherd needs a sheep. The sheep need a shepherd. And if the shepherd's not there, the sheep scatter because they have no one to focus on, no one to trust. So he rose again to be our shepherd. And you know, in our sinful life that we have in this, before we come into the church and are filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, in that early life, we don't know who our shepherd is. It's the shepherd of the world. But we're sick because of the sin that is in our lives. We don't have the truth. We don't know who the true shepherd is. And you know, sheep are shorn every year. And we think sheep are, a lot of times we see pictures of them all white and pretty and bows. But truly, a sheep, before they're shorn at the end of the year, are pretty ugly. With their fur, their wool, it's matted. Their wool has an oil like lanolin in it. And that lanolin, that wool, collects every impurity that they pass. It picks it up. It sticks to them. So they have multiple impurities. And they're not very pretty to look at. They're very dirty. And they're just plain ugly to see. But yet when they're shorn and they're white, all that's gone, they're pretty to look at. And a lot of, before, when the shepherd brings the sheep into the sheepfold, before they can enter in, they have to be shorn. Because of the impurities in their wool, they don't want the clean sheep to be infected. In Romans 6:12, it says, "Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and the lust thereof." We are told to rid ourselves of sin. How can we do that? We can't. But the shepherd can. He shorn us by his blood that he pours over us. That sin that infected us, put impurities within our life, is washed away by his blood. He shorns us. And once he cleanses us, we're able to enter in his fold, his sheepfold, and be with him forevermore. To be able to enter the sheepfold as a child of God, one of his sheep, we must accept him as our shepherd. We must trust him and believe that he is the shepherd. He is looking out for our good, and he will take care of us. Another issue, the sheepfold has only one entrance into it. There's only one way. The sheep don't decide where the door is going to be, how they're going to get in there. The sheep don't make that decision. The shepherd makes the decision where the door is and how you're going to get in. The sheep don't make that. They have to follow what the shepherd says. And God's way of entrance into his sheepfold is repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And when we have repented, been baptized in Jesus' name, and been filled with the Holy Ghost, the ugliness of sin that was once upon our life is gone. And the beauty that God puts upon us to enter into his sheepfold is with us forevermore. The ugliness of that sin is washed away by his blood, just as the sheep shears that wool off that sheep. The ugliness is gone, and the sheep comes looking the way it should. But one bad thing with a sheep, they have a tendency to wander and get lost very easy because of how they eat. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We have a tendency to go our own way. Mankind has a tendency to just do what he wants to, regardless of what anybody else does. They're independent. And let's have the fifth slide, please. It's loading up. We, as people, God's people, have a tendency to wander. But our shepherd, Jesus, has put a pastor over us. And our pastor is the under-shepherd. He knows his flock. He loves his flock. He sees each one of you. He knows you. He lives among you. He cares for you. He looks out for you. He protects us by the teaching of the word. He watches out for us so we are not carried away by every doctrine that comes along. There's many false doctrines out in that world. And if we don't have a good foundation to stand upon, which our pastor gives us, we can easily fold into them and follow the wrong path. He is a watchman. He sees the wolves of false doctrine and noncommittal prowling about. He's the watchman on the wall, looking out for each and every one of our souls. He's looking. He sees the wolves of false doctrine out there. He sees the noncommittal. Because he knows if you're not fully committed, you're not going to really listen to the voice of the shepherd. You let other voices come in and they could pull you astray. You need to be totally committed to walking with God each and every day of your life. You need to have your feet firmly planted in his word and your heart and mind made up that you're going to live for him no matter what comes along. We allow ourselves in our natural man state to follow the lust of the flesh and eyes and pride of life. The things of the world, the material blessings and stuff, seem more important to us, excuse me, not us, but people out in the world than serving God. But they don't realize them material possessions and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life will fade away. It'll disintegrate and be nothing. But what we do and how we live for God, it's for eternity. It's going up to our God. Our pastor tries to make the flock realize that they are seeking to destroy us, which they will if they are not grounded in the truth. We need to be grounded in the truth. The word of God needs to be planted within our hearts and lives so we can stand upon it. When Satan comes against us, just like he came against Jesus, trying to tempt him, he used the word of God. But Jesus turned that word right around, right back at him. But he could not have done that if he didn't know it. That's where we need to know the word of God, because Satan will try to imitate what Jesus does. He'll use his word, but he puts a little twist to it, where it's not quite factual, but it sounds good. That's where we need to have the word of God hid in our lives. Scripture says, hide the word of God in your heart that you may not sin against him. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for us. You know, our pastor acts as our watchman. He's our shepherd. He's the under shepherd. When a shepherd's out in the field watching the flock, they are responsible for every sheep that's in that flock. Our pastor is responsible for us. He will have to give an accounting one day for each of us. He's the watchman. He's the shepherd. The shepherd in the field, if they lost a lamb, they would have to give an accounting to their master why they lost that lamb, why it went astray. A pastor is something special that God has given us because they live among us, they know us, they love us, They have a desire to see you and me make it through our heavenly home. Psalms 23, it says, David was a shepherd and he knew the job and what it consisted of. David was a shepherd. He knew what the shepherd position portrayed and what it took, the many pains, the much discomfort was there, and what it took to really be a good shepherd. David knew that because he was a good shepherd. In Psalms 23:1, let's look at the first thing David put his trust in. The first thing he put his trust in, he says, the Lord. The Lord. That was the first thing he put his trust in. The next thing, he says, is my shepherd. Is my shepherd. Now, David was a shepherd. But yet he put his trust in the Lord, and he says, he is my shepherd. He's the one that's leading me. He's the one that's protecting me. He's the one that's providing what I have need of. He's the one that's guided me into the paths that I need to walk. This psalm deals with comfort, goodness, and dependence. And David's showing his dependence upon the Lord and the shepherd. Do you have the confidence right now in your life to say that the Lord is my shepherd? Do you have the made-up mind to say the Lord is my shepherd? He is mine. This psalm gets very personal. That's one good thing about this psalm. One of the good things, it's personal. It's very personal. We need to remind the Lord, remind ourselves, that the Lord is our shepherd. He knows what we need, when we need it, and how much we need. Between what he knows how much we need and what we think we need, sometimes it's two different things. The Lord knows what we have need of, and he will supply that. And we need to remind ourselves daily that no matter what we have to face, God is there with us and directing us. He leads us to green pastures and still waters where we can be refreshed and strengthened. He brings us into the house of God, and our hearts and minds are strengthened and refreshed by his Spirit as it washes over us like a mighty river. He gives us what we have need of. He gives us our food to eat. Our shepherd knows the path where it leads. We should follow him. Because a guide knows where he's going because he's been there. The shepherd of this world, he's been there also to that heaven, but he was kicked out. So he's leading now another path, trying to draw you across to where he is. But the paths that our Savior leads us to, that our shepherd is the heaven. He knows the way. He's walked it. He knows where the dangers are. He knows where the refreshing is. He knows where we need to stop and rest. He knows it. He's walked it. So he's leading us. But for him to lead us, we have to know his voice. We got to be listening to the voice of God, the voice of the shepherd, as he calls unto us. Our shepherd only wants us to follow him with all of our hearts, mind, soul, to give ourselves totally unto him. And when we do this, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow him, follow us all the days of our lives. Finally, there's something that occurs at the end of our lives. Our shepherd has provided us throughout all of our natural life in this world, but he's provided something else. Revelation 21:3, please. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God is going to be with us. He's coming again to live with us as we rise to be with him. That is something. But it takes us being sheep and listening to the voice of God to let the shepherd lead us. Our shepherd's not going to drive us. He's not going to come behind you and try to drive you to follow and serve him. Our shepherd is in front of us. He's walking. He's leading. He's calling. Come this way. The green pastures and refreshing waters are over here. Follow me. And he stops. A sheep cannot digest their food until they stop and lie down. So as our shepherd stops to let us digest our food, digest the word of God, we get that refreshing that he has for us. I want to end this study tonight with a summary of Psalms 23, what the shepherd provides for us. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leads me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. He restores my soul. That's healing. He leads me in paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his namesake, that's purpose. We serve him for his namesake. We realize what that name has done for us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. You know, when we're walking through that valley of shadow of death, sometimes we're scared. We don't know what to do. It seems like the darkness is overflowing us and coming down. But you know, notice here it says, I walk through the valley. You don't run. Why? You never stop walking. You never lose your hope. And you know the shepherd is there with you, walking beside you, protecting you each and every step of the way. I will fear no evil. That's protection. For you are with me. That's faithfulness. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's discipline. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's hope. You anoint my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup runs over. That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's eternity. What shepherd? What shepherd are you going to follow? What shepherd are you going to listen to? We need to let the good shepherd follow us and our ears tuned to his voice.
We are blessed to have good Bible teachers. We are blessed to have good men on the ministry staff and that are good preachers and teachers. And this was an outstanding. I enjoyed every part of that. Really did. Why do we have to follow the Word of God? Why do we have to do this? And I had a two-hour meeting today in my office with an architect and with a contractor. And I have this table over against the wall, the window of my office, which has some military items on it, my grandfather's, my dad's, and some of my stuff. It's not there as a memorial. It's a table of opportunity. And it happened again today as they came in. The older gentleman, which was the architect, he walked over there. He looked at that table and said, "Well, that's not politically correct." I said, "No, I'm not a politically correct person." I said, "Because these things are the importance of our heritage and foundation that we build upon." And always open opportunity to explain about the Little Green Bible, et cetera. But he said his father, brothers, had a sister in the Navy. And then he made a statement. He said, "Well, like all of that training they go through, it's just to brainwash them." And I said, "Sir, let me tell you, it's not brainwashing. It's learning obedience. That when a command is given, you don't hesitate." I said it's the same thing as faith found in Hebrews 11, chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. If you're going to be a Christian, you have to trust the Word of God. You have to trust Jesus Christ and move when He tells you to move or to act without any kind of hesitation. Amen? And that's the greatest part of following Jesus Christ. Not only you have to fall in love with Him, but you also have to be obedient, because the Word says obedience is better than sacrifice. Okay? And the lesson that you was taught tonight is to understand the reason why we are obedient is because we trust Jesus Christ. He's the door to the sheepfold. He and the Father are one, the Scripture tells us there in John. He gives us the reassurance of all the things that concluded in Psalms 23 that Brother Chandler gave us was tremendous. If nothing else, those things alone are worth serving and being obedient to Jesus Christ. Amen. Because all the things that He gives unto us. Amen. The day that you and I are living in, it is more important that we are able to build a foundation, if the Lord tarries in it all, and I don't see how He can tarry much longer, is to be able to leave a foundation upon which your children and grandchildren, people have something to stand upon and trust. And the reason why is because you trusted it. You stood upon that foundation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you lived it and you walked it. Listening to radios, I coming in this morning to the office. China, nations of the world, are moving to a cashless society very quickly. The United States will be following soon. In China, they're using what they call the alpha rhythm. You may have read about it or seen it in the news, where that through that alpha rhythm, through data gathering, that if you're not loyal and faithful, you're not saying the right things and doing the right things, then you are limited on the amount of food you're able to receive or stores that you can go into, amount of money that you can spend, okay? Moving into a society where that the government decides on what, when, where. And as the Bible has never been wrong, I've never found the word, the scripture ever been wrong, this world's going to face a day where you cannot buy nor sell without the mark, without the number of His name. And we see over and over again, there is a stirring going on, and I think it needs to happen within us. One of the things, as Jesus being our shepherd and shepherds, and it sounds cruel, it sounds really cruel, but there was a purpose behind it. If a sheep kept jumping the fence because it looked like the grass was greener on the other side, the shepherd would break the leg of a sheep. Wow. But he put the sheep on his shoulders and take it back home and bind it up. Okay? I don't want Jesus to have to break my legs because I'm always looking at something else as a greener grass or a more of a possibility, or I can get further in this world than where I'm living right now and leaving the principles behind that was once laid down for us. We saw that happening in that home there in Asheville when they started singing the songs and worshiping God and the presence of God came down, was that those same principles, those same essence of that. If you love Jesus, He'll love you back. Amen? If you love Jesus, He'll love you back. If you worship Him, He will love you back. And what a tremendous and timely lesson, Brother Chandler. It was a crowning Bible study on the effects of Jesus Christ being our shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. Just as the natural under-shepherd one day will give an account before God, the people that He pastored, or shepherd, Jesus Christ is going to give an account for all of us. Amen? Right. How's He going to do it? Well, there's a book, and then there's a book. There's that book of life, and there's the book of all the activities of our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want, in all the struggles of the world and all the temptations and all the things that comes into your lives and my life, is the fact I want to prove faithful and press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
There is a high calling in Christ Jesus. And Brother Chandler did a superb job in pointing that out to us today.